love the old hymns of the church. Well, that's what we've done this week, is VBS, all week long. It was a lot of fun. I was Daniel. I don't actually just dress this way for fun, sometimes. But I was Daniel, and my helper was Ashpenaz, who has pizzazz. And Pastor Mike was Ashpenaz, who was actually a biblical character that existed. He was King King Nebuchadnezzar's chief of staff. And he was in charge of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego when they got to Babylon. But we'll learn more about that later. Right now, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the great week we've had at VBS and the time I get to share with the congregation all that we've done. I pray now as I speak that you would just bless the words I say. Help them to be of you as I communicate the truth that's from your holy word. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So Daniel and his courage in captivity, Babylon. It was an exciting week. But you might... The book of Daniel is an interesting book. The first half of it is essentially history. It's an account of some of the things that happened to Daniel and his three friends when they were in Babylon. It also tells about the rules of King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, King Darius, and Cyrus the Great in some ways. The second half of the book is prophecy, which is very interesting. So we start out in chapter 1 of Daniel, and Daniel is in Babylon. He and his friends have been taken into captivity. How did they get there? Well, Israel, after the reign of King Solomon, split into two kingdoms. The northern 10 tribes became known as the Kingdom of Israel, and the southern tribes became known as the Kingdom of Judah. In the 700s BC, the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria, but the southern kingdom of Judah endured until around 592 when the Babylonians conquered them. You see, the kingdom of Israel, after Solomon, never really followed God that well. But Judah, every once in a while, would have a good king who would follow God. Unfortunately, near the end of its days, its kings weren't following God. Instead, they were following after the desires of their own heart. And so God sent prophet after prophet warning them, if you do not repent, I will take my protection away from you, and I will allow a kingdom greater than you to come and conquer you. However, the people of Judah would not repent. So God was forced to discipline his people. Babylon conquered Judah in 593 BC, or 592, somewhere in that area, and made them a vassal. About a decade later, Judah rebelled again, and Babylon was forced to destroy Jerusalem. Well, they weren't forced to. They thought it was fun. They destroyed Jerusalem, and they leveled the temple. So Daniel and his friends are taken from Israel and brought all the way to Babylon. And everything changed. They don't have the temple anymore. They don't have homes anymore. And we learned on day one of VBS that when things change, God is with you. This is something I thought was interesting when I was studying. When the people got to Babylon, they had lost their temple. That's where they would have their sacrifices. That's where they would meet God. And I imagine they were wondering, now that we're in Babylon, now that we're in this place that's ruled by these pagans, is God still here with us? And that's why Daniel and the book before him, Ezekiel, are so important. Because they were God's prophets in Babylon, proving that no matter where God's people went, God was there. He would never abandon his people if they called on his name again and returned to him. He still loves them. Because the more things changed, the farther away they got, even though everything else could change, God would stay the same. And his love would stay the same if his people return to him. On the first day, we talked about food. It's something I always love to talk about. But Daniel and his three friends, they get to Babylon, and they're handsome, strong, intelligent young men, which explains why I was chosen to play Daniel. But the king, he recognizes this, and he places Ashpenaz in charge of these young men. And he says, all right, for 3 years, train them. Make them smarter, make them stronger, make them better, so that they can enter my service and be my servants. That they can be my wise men or governors or whatever I see fit to have them do. So Daniel and his friends would have been treated probably pretty well. I mean, they weren't in some prison rotting, just getting like a few breadcrumbs a day. They were being educated. But they had a problem. The king wanted them to have the best education, but he also wanted them to have the best food, which might sound great, but the meat and the wine he wanted to give them had first been offered and sacrificed to idols, which God says in his law, to abstain from eating anything that has been sacrificed before an idol. Now, Daniel and his friends could have decided, you know, a lot's changed, we're in a new place, you know, you sort of have to make a few exceptions here and there. We'll just eat the food, but we'll follow God in every other way. But they didn't do that. They decided that they were going to stay true to God. They would stay faithful to God. And they would not eat the food that the king was going to give them. Which was scary, because if Ashpenaz let them not eat the food, the king would probably get pretty mad, because kings, you know, they're temperamental. You can never predict them. And he would most likely put Daniel and his friends to death and Ashpenaz to death for letting them do this. But Daniel had favor in the eyes of God and with Ashpenaz. And he said, just test us for 10 days. We'll just eat vegetables. We'll just drink water and see if we look better or worse than the other youths of Babylon. And after the 10 days, Daniel and his friends were stronger and more fit than the other youths. So we learned that when things change, even when your diet changes, God is with you. And that was our first day of VBS. On the second day, we learned that whenever you need help, God is with you. You see, in the second chapter of Daniel, we covered about one chapter of Daniel each day, King Nebuchadnezzar wakes up one morning, he walks out and he says, I have a dream. But then he won't tell anyone what it is. He asks his wise men to tell him the interpretation of his dream, which is great, but he knew that his wise men were essentially fortune cookies. You know, they would just tell the king whatever he wanted to hear, like, oh yeah, your dream means you'll have long life. And your dream means, like, you'll conquer another kingdom. Because, I mean, they didn't want to die, so they'd just tell him whatever he wanted to hear. And the king had realized this, so he said, I want someone to tell me what my dream meant, because I think it's important. But I want that person to be wise enough to tell me what my dream was. Which is impossible. And the wise men talked about it for a long time, and they couldn't figure anything out, because how can you tell someone what their dream is? And so the king got so angry, he said, I'm going to kill all the wise men in my kingdom. When Daniel found out about this, he decided that he needed to go to the king. And he told the king, God can interpret your dream. Just give me some time. So Daniel prayed with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God revealed to them the king's dream and what it meant. And because of this, Daniel and his friends were saved, they were promoted, and they prospered in Babylon. Whenever we need help, God is with us, is what we learned on day two. On day three, we learned that whenever you're afraid, God will be with you. You see, the king, he woke up and he had another great idea. He's like, you know what I should do today? I think I should build a 90-foot-tall golden statue. I mean, I think that every day when I wake up. And he decided that he would build this statue. And whenever people would hear music, the music of his band, they should bow down and worship this idol? Well, naturally, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't like that idea very much. We don't know where Daniel is in the third chapter of Daniel. Maybe he was touring the provinces of Babylon. Maybe he took a vacation. Maybe he was just sick. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylon. That's what we know. And they had a choice: to obey the king's will and bow down to the statue, or to remain faithful to God. And they chose to remain faithful to God and to not bow to the statue. When the king asked them why they would do this, he was furious. He said, why won't you bow down to my statue? He could throw them in a fiery furnace, which is what he declared would happen to anyone who didn't bow to the statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king in Daniel chapter 3, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were convinced of the power of God, that he could save them if he chose to. But even if he didn't, following him mattered more to them than what any king could do. On that day, we talked about fear. When we're sort of out of the frying pan of life and into the fire, and stuff's happening out of our control, sometimes we're afraid. But God is always with us in the midst of us, in the midst of that. He's always by our side, and we can trust him just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. So the king was so furious, he heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal, so hot that the guards who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in died from the heat. And then, in the furnace, there weren't just 3 people walking it around, there were 4. 3 went in, and 4 were there. We don't know who the 4th was. Maybe it was an angel. Some have said maybe it was Jesus. But we do know that it was because of the power of God. Because Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came out of the furnace, and their bonds were gone, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Not a hair on their head was hurt. And we talked about how that was a miracle, something that only God can do. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the flames. And the king Nebuchadnezzar sent a decree that all of his kingdom should respect the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a brief space of time in between our next lesson where we skipped a few chapters and a lot happened. King Nebuchadnezzar got old and died. Kings do that. And then his son, Belshazzar, sort of ran the kingdom into the ground. He died. And then the Persians conquered Babylon. And we have King Darius. So once again, Daniel is a stranger in a strange land. He had just sort of gotten used to Babylon, you know. He had his place. He was well respected. But now he was in Persia. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego aren't mentioned again. So we're not sure what happened to them. On day 4, we talked about when you're lonely, God is with you. You see, Daniel, he was so honest and wise that he was promoted quickly within the Persian Empire. And he became one of 3 men who was over the whole kingdom under the king. And he was so good at his job that the king was like, you know, this Daniel guy, maybe I should just have him in charge of my kingdom. Well, the other officials didn't really like that too much, so they tried to find a way to get rid of Daniel. They couldn't find any faults in him, except they had this one idea. The one thing Daniel never wavered on was his faith in God. So they told the king, playing on his pride, why don't you make this decree that for the next 30 days, the people of Persia can only pray to you? And the king was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll write that out. Well, Daniel, he had a choice. He could follow this decree, or he could just pray in secret and be fine. But Daniel, by this point, he's probably an old man. He's outlived two Babylonian kings, seen that empire crumble, and seen his kingdom of Judah fall, seen his friend saved from a fiery furnace, interpreted a dream. He's not going to lose faith in God now. So Daniel continues to pray in front of his window 3 times a day, every day. And the people plotting against him catch him and tell Darius about it. And because Darius has issued the decree, he can't rescind it. And within the decree, it was stated anyone who broke that law would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel had come from Israel to Babylon, from Babylon to Persia. We don't know where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are. And maybe he was lonely. Maybe he was thinking he might be the only person who got thrown into that lion's den. But being lonely and being alone aren't the same thing. No matter where we are, God is always with us. We're never truly alone because he is always there. So that leads us to day 5. And by now, the kids, I'm sure, are really scared. They're like, oh, no, what's going to happen to Daniel? Actually, truth be told, many of them were like, good, he's going to get eaten. Let's see the lines. Thanks, kids. I'm glad you cared about me. On day 5, we learned that when you're thankful, God is with you. At the beginning of our lessons, Pastor Ashpenaz, he asked the kids, why would Daniel go into the lion's den? And some of them responded, because God is real, because God can save us, because following God mattered more to Daniel than anything else in his life. And that's true. So God again is with Daniel. I'm sure maybe Daniel thought back to the words of his friends that God had the power to save him from the lion's den, which he certainly did. But even if he didn't, Daniel was still going to follow him because he knew good things would come after as well. And following God was more important to him than anything else. Well, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and maybe he was scared, but he doesn't get eaten. God sends an angel and closes the mouths of the lions. And Darius is so concerned that in the morning he runs out and he opens up the tomb. And he's like, Daniel, are you okay? Did your God save you? Are you all right? Daniel's like, yeah, I'm good. And the king takes Daniel out of the lion's den, throws the people who accused Daniel into the lion's den, and issues a decree telling everyone in his kingdom how great God is. Daniel had a lot to be thankful for. True, he wasn't in his home, but where he was brought to by God, he prospered. In Babylon, he prospered, and it says he prospered in Persia even into the reign of Cyrus the Great. God blessed him when he refused to eat the food of the king. God revealed the king's dream to him and saved him and all the other wise men. He saved his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a fiery furnace. And he saved Daniel from the lion's den and from his accusers. Daniel has a prayer that he prayed after God revealed to him the dream of the king. Before he went to the king, before he did anything, he prayed this. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel realized that every good thing came from God, and all the miracles and all the wisdom had come from God. And he, above everyone else, knew about how brief kings and kingdoms were. He saw Judah fall, he saw Babylon fall, and he saw Persia come. But then at the end of his life, Cyrus the Great issued a decree allowing the Jews to return to Judah. So God got to see his people, or Daniel got to see his people beginning to be restored. And he could look back on his life and see the faithfulness of God. Daniel had a lot to be thankful for. He was saved from a lion's den. We have more to be thankful for. We have been saved from our sins. Or at least we can be. That was the last thing we talked about. How our sin in our life separates us from God. But how God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins. To take our sin upon himself on a cross. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Defeating sin, defeating hell, and defeating death. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are saved from our sins. But not only are we saved from our sins, we are saved for something. We are saved for right now, a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God, to walk with him, to learn from his word, be about his business, to continue in prayer, in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, to be God's people in this world. We can be truly thankful because Christ died for our sins and because right now he's at work in our lives. That was VBS. Let me pray for you. Dear God, thank you for this week. Thank you for all that we have learned. Thank you that you are always with us when we're afraid, when we feel alone. And thank you for your Son who saved us from our sins. And I pray that you would continue to teach us what it means to walk with you in the light. Be with us, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.